Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Golly, give the Lord a hand, will you? Man, it's an amazing, amazing looking group of people. Man, God's doing something so incredible in our lives. Pastor Tim Fruits is here from Wichita. Stand up and say hi. Say hi. He was in Guts Church for a million years and moved out to Malibu with Dave and Laura, who I should say hello to, I guess, right now, and everybody else watching online, and all you guys in Indianapolis, because we're big Colts fans now, and RIP Eagles, they gave a Super Bowl ring, and we took it and ran, and also Cindy's here tonight, my lovely wife Sandy. Who is, we're in revival here at the Guts Church. Anybody in revival here? You know, I want to go to that verse in John from the beginning. So let's get right in the Word. You guys want to? John 14, verse 12, and this is going to tie into revival in our lives. Jesus said, most assuredly, okay, that's highlighted and underlined in my Bible, because most assuredly means it's big, okay? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also, all right? And then he said, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Okay, now listen, it's going to be hard to find context and put that in perspective, because of everything that Jesus did, the Bible said if they'd have recorded all of it, there wouldn't be enough books on the planet to record it all. And now he's saying, the works that I do, you'll do, but greater because I go to my Father. And listen, this is amazing, but it gets better. Okay? Verse 13, he says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, Jesus, listen, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He's God's promise. And all he wants to do is glorify God. So then it goes to the next verse, and it even gets better because he repeats it. Because really, honestly, you're thinking, wait, did he just say what he said? If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Take a picture of that screen. It's worth 1,000 words. Man, get that engraved. If you ask anything. So here's what happens. Gustavo Paez looks at me and Pastor Sandy in my office, and he says, you're to do a 60-day revival, and that's the most important thing I've ever said in this church. How many of you guys got a good word and encouragement from Gustavo Paez from the times he was here? He said, the biggest thing, the most important thing that I'm going to say is this. It's a 60-day revival. So, of course, we just said, okay. But listen, and let me tell you, he said some important things to me. He said some important things to Sandy. But listen, he said this is the most important thing. So you know what? We just said okay. And then we called revival. And what clicked into play then was John, the 14th chapter, where it's like, okay, hey God, how about revival? Here we go. We are redefining it. I have pastors, I have people, you guys have people all over town that are saying, wait, how are you doing that? It's like really honestly, I had a pastor ask me that on the phone today, and I'm thinking, it feels like a trick question. How are you doing that? It's like, we just said we're going to do it, and we're doing it, and John 14 comes into play. Now turn your Bibles. How many of you guys brought your Bibles in here? No revival without the Word. We got a prophetic word, and now we're bringing the more sure word of faith, the more sure word of prophecy. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, We don't war according to the flesh. Now listen, do you walk? Yes. Do you war? Yes. Most people understand this as a walk. In my walk in life and my journey and where I'm going, most people don't think about it as a war. It's a war. And Paul says, look, we don't walk according to the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh. All right? He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. They're not natural. And you know what? We're thinking, okay, that's good. Let me bring incredible context to this verse. The weapons of our warfare are not your given strengths and abilities. The weapons of our warfare is not your tool set. It's not your skills. It's not your abilities. It's not how well you sing. It's not how well you play the guitar. It's not how good a public speaker you are. The weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but they're mighty unto God for the pulling down, listen, of strongholds. So if we could capsulize everything into one issue in our life, whether it's health or finances or marriage or raising children or relationships or career or whatever it is, fulfillment, depression, fear, we capsulize all of that into one thing, it's strongholds. And I'm going to deal with strongholds tonight. Listen, it's not this fresh wind of God coming in and me using that fresh wind to deal with all my ordinary issues and problems. The strongholds that I've had life. Do I have your attention? Because I want the power to come from all of it to land on you. And in order for that to happen, you've just got to simply pay attention. So the weapons of our warfare are not our skill set. They're mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments. That the world is full of arguments. We're not here to win the arguments. We're here to cast the arguments down. And every high thing that exalts itself, not with or toward, it's against the knowledge of God. How many of you guys know God's good? Okay, I snuck up on you. It's not fair. I'm going to give you another chance. How many of you guys know God's good? How many of you guys know God's the healer? How many of God's your buckler and your shield? He's your protector. How many of you guys know that beyond a shadow of a doubt? No doubt God's my protector. Okay. Everything that exalts itself against God as your protector, God as your healer, God as your father, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We don't allow an unfettered thought. And being ready to punish. Now remember, we're not just walking with him, we're warring with him. So now we get into the war part of it and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What's he talking about here? He's talking about obedience and disobedience in your thought life. See, dear friend of ours, honored. I'm not doing this to drop a name, even though it is. Joyce Meyer wrote a book, simple read, called Battlefield of the Mind. Game changer in the body of Christ. Some people knew that. Some people suspected that. She communicated it very, very clearly. There are books I recommend you read regularly, annually. Battlefield of the Mind is one of them. If you sign up to be an intern at Guts Church, you're going to read Battlefield of the Mind. You're going to read Christ the Healer. You're going to read In His Presence. You're going to read the Word. A stronghold is anything that you put your trust in other than God. Let me tell you what this is going to do. This is going to begin to chip away at things that have been in your life that have kept you held hostage. A stronghold takes the place of God in your life. It takes the place of, and it's what we turn to instead of the Lord. It's where our trust is. A stronghold becomes a hiding place. And this is an interesting term, because we'll sing about our hiding place and the Lord, and we hide the word in our hearts, but a stronghold becomes a hiding place of the demonic in our lives. Now this is getting super serious. Strongholds are created through our thought life. Man, I've always thought this way. Man, if you're relatively new here, and you're not hearing things from a different perspective, maybe you've never heard it before, or you're hearing it from a different angle or a different perspective, and you've got to go and check in the Word, we're not doing our job. I'm not doing my job. Anybody else that's leading here isn't doing their job. See, what the Word is, you go back to John 14, it's mind-blowing. How did we have lack, any kind of lack in our lives when Jesus said, whatever you ask, I'll do it? This is disappointment-free life. Let me tell you why that happens. We're putting our trust in something other than God. So, ding, 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 stronghold. Bad or negative thoughts aren't strongholds. Bad or negative thoughts that you don't bring to the captivity of Christ and force the obedience of God's word onto that thought, and it becomes your lifestyle, that's stronghold. You're like, oh, I had an impure thought. Yeah, bring it into the obedience of God. Let me tell you who else had impure thoughts. Jesus. Ruh-roh. We're talking about, you know, the Immaculate Conception, and we're talking about walking on water. Jesus, he was tempted. We are tempted in our thought lives. Yeah, our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our nose are all gates to our thought life. It's how we think, how we naturally think is dependent upon our five senses. I remember before as a Christian, it was the 70s, so it wasn't like today. It still blows my mind that there are businesses that they called dispensaries. Okay? I had a dispensary business in the 70s. It's very lucrative. If you're here and you have a dispensary, I can't think of anything church suitable right now. Like, it still blows my mind. Because, like, in the 60s and the 70s, the catchphrase was, why do you think they call it dope? Are you guys too young? Because you're a dope. Because you're the usual answer for someone that's token, or what do they call it now? Smoke it? I don't know that they smoke it. Okay, did you gummy? No, for real, it's a gummy. I used to laugh at these guys. They go, man, yeah, we made some brownies. I'm like, you made brownies? And then I couldn't find my car. It's like, dear God. Not just a fudge brownie, but why am I talking about this? It still blows my mind that there are businesses, at least in Tulsa, they have to be 1,000 feet apart. In Broken Arrow, They stack them on each other. Which speaks volumes. I really don't remember why I was talking about this. What, Sandy? Please help me, because I'm treading water right now. Why? But that would have been a great point. Okay, but this, so for me, it's a whole new perspective on how I look at something. Because for me, it was illegal. So I had to do it deftly. But now it's just all out in the open. And let me help you. And I'm not judging any of that medicinal, or I'm just saying we're living in a time where everything is coming out in the open. And we're realizing now, wait a second, this is a stronghold. Now I remember where I was going. So I get saved, and I'm going to Bible school, and I live in these apartments, and it's not, there were a few Christians. There were the Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. There were Jeff and Patsy Perry. There were Ed and Gail Gunger. There were a few other people that were Christians, but everybody else, they weren't. And so this huge apartment complex at 33rd and Mingo. So I remember going down one evening to my mailbox, and I got my mail, and I'm walking back. I walk by this apartment, and this whiff of dope, of marijuana, it hits me just walking by the door. Now listen, I was a Christian. I honestly was on this conveyor belt where here was my walk with Jesus, like this. And man, I was just moving. I didn't have to take any steps. Like the wind of the Holy Spirit that we talked about was blowing and just whisked me off my feet and was just taking me. And here I was, and I'm on this conveyor belt just loving God and just pure as the driven snow in my thought of who I was. And I go by this apartment, and that whiff of dope hits me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my knees got weak. I'm like, oh. And I stopped right there, and I took a second. And I envisioned this octopus bong in there with the whole, like Cheech and Chong joints and all this. And I walked to my apartment. I felt so unclean and so filthy and God arrested me. And I got revelation of temptation from God that it's not sin. As soon as you get that thought, you capture it with God's word. And I didn't really know God's word then. So you know what I said? I sat in my apartment by myself, and that guilt lifted off me because I said, that is not who I am anymore. I didn't say 2 Corinthians 5:17. I didn't say I'm a new Christian. I just said, that is not me. I am new now. See, and that's what we've got to do. That's what every single one of us have to do tonight. Tonight is providential. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's all over me right now, and I never talk like that. And I'll tell you why. Because this, beyond any other service we've had in this revival, is providential of us moving forward. There's going to be such breakthrough tonight because I'm going to expose strongholds. You're going to be able to identify them. See, bad and negative thoughts, they're not. I had a bad thought. I started visiting the bong and the huge joints, but you know what I did? I stopped and I reminded myself of the new life that I had. My life's not going back to bad and evil. The weapons of our warfare aren't skills or talents. Listen to me. Otherwise, you know what? We're thinking there's this hierarchy in the body of Christ. You remember there's no comely or uncomely parts. Man, we can't identify ourselves as ears or eyes or we identify ourselves in the body, man. All that matters is that we're in the body and we're connected to the head, and that head is Jesus. See, but what do strongholds do? They don't try to build a case against the existence of God. They build a case against, listen, the knowledge of God. Now, here's what the word says. I always have read this as negative, that knowledge puffs up. So I'm thinking, man, if I know a lot about something, man, I'm all bowed up and I'm all puffy about it. I know it like a blowfish. But that's also positive. Our knowledge of God puffs us up spiritually. And what the devil's going to do is the devil is going to try to give you thoughts and lay strongholds in your mind against your understanding and your knowledge of God. And that knowledge is an intimate knowing. Man, if you came up to me and you accused something, Sandy, of something to me, in my heart, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. But what I'm going to say is, whoa, 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 wait a second. I know her. I know her intimately. I know her through and through. Nothing she could do is going to shock me. So if you're going to accuse me of something, you better pack a lunch. Well, I know God. And the idea of what the devil's trying to do in your life and in my life is where the war is. It's where the battle is. And it's against us knowing God for who he is. Is God the healer? Is God the provider? Is God your shelter? Is God your protector? Is God your peace? Oh my gosh. We've got to know it. The promises of God are designed to be unleashed and to overcome every problem we have in life. His promises have legs to them. His promises have fists. His promises are sharper than any. Why would God describe his promises as sharper than any two-edged sword? You know what they do? They pull down strongholds. They whack them up. Let's do it right now. I'll tell you what, I'm emotional right now. Let's do it right now. I want you to identify a stronghold in your life. Here's what's interesting. And I was talking to Pastor Cassie. I've never called her that before. We're growing up right before our eyes. But I was talking to Cassie today and Heather Tatum. Greatest kids person on the planet, Heather and Jordan. Your kids are well taken care of and ministered to here. I'm just telling you. But I was talking to him today, and I thought of something, and I said it for the first time. And I thought about us raising Taylor and raising Brooklyn and raising Kennedy and now our grandbabies. Is that, and this can resonate with all the parents in here, that with your kids, there is one discipline that if you instilled in their life, everything else works out. It's like a big domino effect. Just one discipline. And I'm approaching you not as a coach, but more like a dad tonight. And as a dad leader for you. And that stronghold, the stronghold in your life that you face in your life, if we pull that strong, we're not trying to break it. We're going to cast it down. We're going to shatter it. That one stronghold in your life, if that one stronghold, Shannon, that one stronghold, if it's taken care of in your life. And see, we look at it, we think, because let me tell you what a stronghold's going to do. A stronghold's going to affect your personality. A stronghold's going to affect how you interact with people. Man, some of you guys that have been abused, let me tell you, man, you're over it. You healed up from it. It's just a memory in my past. Yeah, unless you never brought it captive to Christ. And then, you know what? Punish it. See, that's what we got to do. We got to punish those strongholds and punish them to where we cast them down. This is war. This isn't us walking. This isn't a stroll anymore. We're going to war tonight personally, and the strongholds are coming down. And let me just tell you, the entrance of fear. What does the entrance of God's word bring? The entrance of fear brings darkness. And the entrance of fear will always attract, now listen to this, what is needed to legitimize its existence. See, God's Word, you allow God's Word to come into your heart, it brings light. What does that light do? It legitimizes the existence of the Word. So fear and jealousy. See, let me tell you, in this room, and I should give Sandy the mic and just let her, man, jealousy is rampant in the body of Christ. Rampant. It's rampant across the globe. See, if we're looking for anything in the world to bring reset in our life, it's gonna be attached with strongholds. God's gonna bring the reset. God has reset my life so many times. And jealousy and resentment and pride and depression. See, depression doesn't just come alone. Man, you allow depression in your thought life, you know what's going to happen? It's going to attract everything else it needs to bring legitimacy to your life, to its existence in your life. And then it begins to shape your personality. There's something so significant about what the Lord wants to do in our church right now. Oh my gosh, I could cry. I mean, I'm emotional right now. God wants to do so much more in our lives, and I know that's Denny's message. But I'm telling you tonight, God wants to do so much more in our lives. He wants to do so much more in our church. And I mean, you just look at kind of the catchy kind of scriptures that we just kind of throw out there. Eyes and see, nor ear heard, nor is entered in the heart of man the great things that God has for those who walk uprightly. It's like, whoa, 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 time out. What did you just say? Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into your heart what God has for you. And then we couple that with, how about John penning his gospel? Would he have penned it? What would he have done? Is that how they did it? How would you like to you wrote that? And you know what he probably did? He probably said, me writing this in Greek doesn't hit the mark. And he probably had this thought. Like, who had the idea of putting the words of Jesus in red? I'll bet one or more of the four writers of the gospel. I bet John wrote that and then thought, I hope they get the spirit of this from these words. If you ask anything in my name, just me hearing it from Jesus is mind-blowing, life-changing, game-winning. But then me thinking about writing it for Mark to get. How do I write this? But then the Holy Spirit probably arrested him and said, you can't add anything to this. You know, the Word says that. You can't pull anything out of it. You can't add anything to it. See, we're experiencing the grace and the mercy and the love of God so richly right now. When people ask me, it's like, yeah, it's His grace, His power, His mercy. I realized through 41 years, the amount of mercy it took from the Father toward my life. 37 almost years with Sandy, the amount of mercy that God gave her for me. And it's been so richly given by the Holy Spirit, and it's becoming, listen, His grace, His mercy, His love, and along with His grace comes His power and His favor, everything about the supernatural, and it's been given to us so richly, And what I'm believing God for the month of March is it becomes central in our lives. It becomes that honey hole, that bullseye, that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is just bordered with His grace and His mercy and His love. But what's a stronghold that has been occupying your life? If you don't try, you won't get it. If you merely try, you will. I'll tell you, this night, I don't know that I've ever said this before, is providential to all of us. The pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of vain imaginations that are just trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of vain arguments. Man, let's let the world blame God for what He's done or hadn't done. We can't be party to that. I've always thought God wants us to change the industry, whether it's boxcars or real estate or sales or ministry or church. So in order for us to change the industry, it requires us rewriting the rules. And that's what God's word does for us in our lives. It rewrites the rules. And see, what's amazing is the mandates that our government try to give to do what they think they need to do are merely suggestions. I could exceed the speed limit. And if I get caught, I can get a ticket, or if I exceed it enough, I might go to the pokey. But these mandates from God, do you understand? Jesus wasn't just offering, hey, let me give you a little token. No, you know what? Ask anything in My name, I'll do it. It's a mandate now. It's a law. It's a law that we can't compromise. It's a law that we can't try to outfit. It's a law that we can't sugarcoat. It's a law. Look, you ask anything in My name, I'll do it. Because here's why. What's the why for Jesus? It glorifies My Father. That's all He cared about. He wasn't saying, oh, so that your son can rise up out of the hospital bed. Yeah, all of that is, oh my gosh, oh, Jesus sunk a putt. No. Your need being met, your kid being healthy, your life being fulfilled glorifies God. And that's all Jesus thinks about. But guess what? There are strongholds. None of them are small. All of them become a lifestyle of wrong thinking. In just one solitaire, single area. Well, that just doesn't happen for me. Like the benefits of God are like a dadgum lottery. I asked somebody recently, I said, man, what do you believe in God for? He said, man, win the lottery. You know what my response is? Good luck. He said, you believe in luck? I said, if you're playing the lottery, I do. God, where's our stronghold? Please just close your eyes and just ask God to show you. Let it come out of your mouth. God, show me my stronghold. God, make it so real and so apparent to me. Now, once that stronghold is revealed in your life, you don't have to profess it. You just have to take authority over it. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You bind that stronghold right now. bind it. It might have been a misstep that you took 30 years ago. It might have been an abortion you suffered. A divorce you went through. Words that you said. Let me tell you, it's going to leave a trail of guilt and shame. Just identify it right now. Just close your eyes and just ask God to reveal it to you. God, just show me. God, just show us. God, I ask you to show us any strongholds on the culture of this church. God, we know tonight that the weapons, the strongholds on our homes, the weapons of our warfare aren't worldly or carnal. We weren't born with a skill set to pull down strongholds. But God, because we're born again, we're in your family, we're members of your church, we're full of your spirit, we've surrendered our lives to your kingdom, your way of doing things. God, we just ask you to show us the stronghold that's limiting us, God. God, and I remind you your word that Jesus said he would do it. There's power in that word. Now, everybody in the room, just repeat this exercise with me. God, I thank you. The stronghold that's been occupying my life is pulled down, has no authority. I am free, because whom the Son has set free is absolutely free. I am free of strongholds. My life is completely different. I have no limit. I have no lid. Eye hasn't seen. Ear hasn't heard. I've never imagined it. What you have in store for me now, that my life has just become limitless. Limitless. Without limit. God, I see this tonight as providential. I was born for this night, moving forward, I'm moving forward. God, I thank you. You fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit, where that place that stronghold occupied has been cleared out and is filled with your Spirit now. God, I thank you for a new liberty, a new freedom, a new strength, a new power, in the name of Jesus. Now listen, forgiveness is attached to everything in our life. That stronghold probably carried some unforgiveness. So tonight, with that stronghold gone, forgiveness replaces it, that unforgiveness. So there's no void, there's nothing missing, and nothing broken. If you're here and Jesus hasn't been the Lord of your life, the Bible says we believe in our heart into righteousness. I don't believe there could be anybody in this room that has any kind of lack spiritually or void spiritually or without God spiritually that wasn't affected already. But I'm just telling you, calling upon the name of the Lord, you have to. Paul put it this way, I plead with you, I beg you, be reconciled unto God. Get your life right with God. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask everybody here to just repeat this prayer with me. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God. I don't have any strongholds. I'm free to pray this without any hesitancy. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus. The living God is my Father. I'm in His family. I'm a part of His house, and it's forever. I'm going to heaven. I'll never smell the scent of hell. And I call today heaven on earth all about my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand, will you? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on, give the Lord a hand.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.